that I realized after the hearing, which this morning it was shocking, I think, disheartening. I felt like my emotions were like up and down, and you start putting yourself and remembering yourself at younger days and a younger age and as a child and that, and I just felt like the need to really like, felt like I just want to protect my younger self, you know? There were so many things that could not be discussed because there wasn't enough time. It boxed out an hour, which was not even, as the attorney said, and state wasn't even close to enough time that they need. So thankfully the judge has continued in going into a second and third hearing if need possible, because there are things that the judge had brought up that need to be subpoenaed, bank statements, everything. Sometimes they can subpoena people, you know, whether they do that sheriff or, and sometimes, you know, when it's not county or city and it's a federal, they'll use private servers. There were so many things to discuss, and I don't think I knew half of things about my life with my health during revision hearings for disability. And the reason is because they literally box out less time than what we had this morning, an hour. I mean, it was boxed out half an hour. And that's not enough time. So you really don't know truly everything about your backstory. And I'll be honest, I really didn't know my backstory. And I'm realizing I really never knew it. But now I do. Disappointing, so disappointing, shocking. I realize, you know, people just don't respect people when they deal with something chronic. There's no respect at all, none. People don't care. I'm not saying all people, but people with totem poles that should care don't. And sometimes I realize, like in life, that if you find yourself in a situation and you can't handle, whether you have a child, children, whether it's, you know, a loved one, whatever situation, you can't handle their health, and you can't, you know, be responsible and make sure that their health and situations come first before your own, then you need to give that responsibility, which I fully agree with the judge, is sometimes we have to hand the responsibility off to somebody else, and we have to look past what we want and look more towards what's better for a child or children. Because sometimes when we make choices that aren't for the best for the, you know, health and being of a child or children, is we fault them and they end up struggling, suffering the rest of their life into their adulthood. It's not okay. We're asking and saying, hey, listen, you know, and saying, I would like to go on to a different work program and this is this, and try to deem myself disabled, was a look of literally, I was waiting to get reprimanded by the judge, but instead I got a very heartfelt conversation, we'll just say, response back. And it wasn't what I expected, but I realized a lot in my life that I really have no control over, and I never did, and that I need to add that to trauma therapy and making peace, because this morning was shocking. I don't know what to think. I mean, I'm just dumbfounded. I have to sit down over the weekend, just get a list of things that they're requesting and asking, and, you know, names of banks and this and that and this and that, and, you know, people's information, and I'm realizing this is a bigger deal than what I thought it was ever going to be. This is a life-changing hearing, but I literally have learning to realize, like, trying to learn myself. Like, you listen to things about yourself during a hearing and you're like, literally, I felt like I was beside myself. Like, there's no way they're talking about me. I have no idea about this. What do you mean? What do you mean? I kept having that, dumbfound look. As I just say, I don't think she understands what you're referring to. I didn't. There's a lot of things I had no idea. But behavior of some people, there's no word cruel to describe it. Having other people read through things and transcribing and, you know, saying for what it is, and sometimes more than what you realize you know, or that I knew, was about as damning as it gets. The thing is then after the hearing this morning, you know, and I'm allowed to have peace and calm and quiet, you know, I made it clear and I left a note for Eric that I am not comfortable around him. He comes off very brash and very harassing, and he's not keeping up on anything, and not going by agreements, and then creating problems that don't need to be created, unnecessary stress, and I'm not going to tolerate it. And I told him that it's not going to happen anymore, period. Then having a contractor come over, knowing the situation is, you know, when you have parts of things that are a process of a claim, an insurance company will honor parts of the claim. You know, when you're on title and deed and all that, regardless, is you both have to sign off on checks. Now, I'm going to say this for education for people, okay? Regardless of what you're going through, legal separation, divorce, and even people who are divorced, you still have properties and things you're working on, you know, and you have to both sign off. It was literally like a contractor, everything was explained over a week ago. Literally, the checks came in, I did my part. Insurance company basically today, this latest afternoon, was the last time he told me, is listen on the phone, is this is not your claim, it's not our responsibility. You're taking our responsibility of his, and it's not your responsibility. And we said this to you before, but now really we mean it. It's not your responsibility. Did you endorse the checks? I said, yes. Did he? No. Literally, the contractor shows up, and I let the contractor know. I save everything. I have a long list of everything. That was one thing in court that they did say was very, I had the word. It was more of a legal terminology. I can't think of the name of it. Basically, how organized I was and thorough, and that I really, like, you know, made sure I kept track of everything and kept a copy of everything and knew everything. I worked my butt off, you know, ready for this hearing. I was more than ready, beyond prepared, and I'm damn proud of myself for it. But literally, the contractor comes to the property, and Eric is supposed to go get these checks because I gave him the checks, put them in an envelope. When the contractor was out over a week ago, I left him with his name in the garage, and he looks at him and walks right past them. So when they're in the back, I put it on his car. He literally walks back on security camera, puts it back on the ground. You can't leave checks that are meant for contractors with the insurance company, leaving them out in the open, okay? I did my part. So per legal counsel's guidance is you mail them to next of kin and make sure the people or person knows you're mailing this stuff. Hey, listen, this is why, okay? Could you please refer and let them know that these checks are there, they need to endorse them, and they need to take care of their claim and finish it so the contractor gets paid. It was the most strange, delusional, and I feel like now it's like if I could do a do-over, I would just literally not respond to anything and wait until I can process everything from the hearing, because my mind is just overloaded. And I should have learned this from oncology. You can't battle people and then battle your life at the same time. It never worked for me then, and it's not working now. And I felt like I literally fell off the bandwagon a little bit and forgot about the logical side and not responding off of emotion, you know. But I literally was like, this is the craziest thing. And then listening to like security camera stuff, and literally Eric's telling her on the phone, no, I can't get in the garage because she didn't want me there and the checks are there, knowing I literally have screenshots, text messages, and photos, and literally me literally going to the mailbox and dropping it in there, listen, and the address where it's going to, and then his text message is literally saying, yeah, I know, and I'll give her the checks and that, and then the contractor knowing he has the checks. They're not magically any money trees in the garage or anything growing, not that I know of, because I think I would be first, you know, dibs on it. Get the hell out of here. That's an understatement. Trying to find a house, that's another situation with the realtor. It's like they said, we're going to second year. This is just, it's hard. You know, looking for a property now is worse. Talking to a mortgage company, looking for a property now is worse. It's hard, you know, and you're doing this solo, it's hard. As a judge said, you know, there was support that should have been there by two people, and they failed. It's just clear as day throughout most of your life. And a lot of things you don't know, and now you'll know. And it's disheartening, you know? I have to make peace with that. It's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. That's where a therapist, trauma therapy, comes into play. But literally then having this stress, which when people know your health situation and you let them know and they still have no respect for you and want to lay on stress that I don't need, I should have, as I was advised, it's just you just don't answer, you don't reply, period. You know, let legal counsel and people handle it, you know? But, you know, I responded. And so I think a little bit of my empath came in, you know, because you want to see a contractor get paid and get their money, but then all of a sudden, you know, when we throw in a contractor and they say, hey, listen, if I don't get the money, I'll put a deed on the house. But this has nothing to do with me. This is Eric's responsibility, is signing off on checks, getting the checks from next of kin. He had over a week to do it and giving them to her. The thing was, is just an hour ago, looking through emails and stuff, and I just had to get out of the house and take a break. And, you know, I was thinking, like, this is just, is crazy, because here's the thing. If a contractor knows the checks aren't there, they know the individual's supposed to bring them, and I'm not comfortable, and this is personal reasons and a personal note on the property, I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable around you right now, and I have good reason why. Please don't bother me. And I had a hearing this morning, too, you know. And I needed to get some sleep after the hearing, and then not having respect. But the thing is legal counsel said on the phone, is why didn't they just meet Eric out off the property? They didn't need to meet him there. That note was personal. That's a personal matter. It has nothing to do with the contractor or contractors. It has nothing to do with the checks. It has nothing to do with anything. That's a personal note. There's no checks in the garage. And all parties are fully aware of this. And you have backed everything up to show proof. So why are you being dragged into situations that aren't yours to battle? And this is clearly one, Kim. And the insurance company even told me that. This is not your claim. It's not your battle. Okay? You're a responsible party, and you made sure everything was done correctly. Any damage or anything that happened, it was replaced and everything is done. But it's not your responsibility to go signing and, you know, doing this and this when somebody is an adult and they're more capable on their own. And then they'll gaslight and literally try to sit there. It was the craziest, craziest security camera stuff I ever saw in my life. Listening to someone on the phone sit there and say, well, I can't get in the garage. Let me in the garage. Then they know. They know. How crazy it is they know the checks or at next to Ken's house still, because they didn't pick him up, didn't sign him. And I realized this evening, like, you know what, I wasted valuable time. I'm not gonna do it anymore. I'm done, I'm over, it's over, it's done, I'm done. You wanna put a lien on the house, go for it. That'll come out of Eric's pocket on his half. When the house sells, that's his part. That'll be his portion he'll have to pay. Had nothing to do with me. I signed my stuff, I did my job. Anything else, it's his responsibility. And once again, I'm going to say this, is sometimes you just have to let people fall. You got to let people figure it out on their own. Let them fall. If people don't want to believe people can be a certain way and want to believe somebody on the phone, let them believe it. Let them figure it out on their own. It's not my responsibility. I'm going to say this again. It is not your responsibility to be somebody's mother, mommy, daddy, whatever. It's not your responsibility to go holding somebody's hand and somebody is clearly over the age of 18. It's not your responsibility. It's not mine. Period. But sitting there listening to contractors say I put a lien on the house, go for it now. I was like, what? Oh, okay, hold on. I'm literally calling the insurance company up, seeing, doing them a favor, going out of my way, when really legally I was told this has nothing to do with you. You just went above and beyond, which you didn't have to do. It doesn't matter what the contractor, who they were, what they were doing. It's not about the contractor, it's about the bigger picture. Is he needed to sign and endorse these checks and have them on him, on his person, and meet her, or him, or whoever, and give him the checks. If you're not comfortable with somebody, you've got a clear reason why, then they can go meet them off the property somewhere else. It's that easy. That easy. But when somebody's playing manipulation games, this is what happens. They create conflict on everybody else, and they sit back and smile. But what happens is everybody is held accountable one way, shape, or form, sometimes sooner than later, for your actions, behavior, and your decisions. Put the lien on the house. His attorney said on the evening, this evening, is put a lien on the house and sit on the phone. Let the contractor do it. That's kind of Eric's part. You got yourself covered. You know, this is part of what we talked about in court, in hearing this morning, is there's a lot of things that you took on that are not your responsibility. They're not for you to own, you know, and a lot of things that weren't fair, you know, that you should not have been and involved with. But you had a right to know a lot of things too throughout your life, especially when it came to your health and decisions or lack of, and you weren't. And the support that should have been there, as the judge said, failed. You know? When you have and you're under oncology care and you're under palliative care, you can't just sit there and say, listen, I'm going back to work, okay? I'm going full time back to work. I'm da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, okay? When your health starts changing, you can't do that because you become a liability. It's up to federal judges and judiciary and that to make that decision for you. And in my situation, when there's a lot of moving pieces, I was told there's a lot of moving pieces. I don't know how many times I heard it through the hearing. There's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of moving pieces. Because there is. There's not enough time in 1 hour. It wasn't. So continue on. But there's a lot of parts that, you know, even my attorney said, you know, we need to subpoena this, we need to maybe look about this person, you know, we need to keep all options open now, you know, because the decisions that are made by the judge are not going to be lightly. This is it, you know. I need to get back to work full time. I don't have, as the judge said, you don't have the support that you need. And when there's support given, it's like there's strings attached. And there's a lot of manipulation going on, and it's not okay. And you shouldn't have to be going through this. You should be focusing on your health. And you can't. Because you're so dealing with this. And it shouldn't happen. It should never happen. But there's a lot of big problems throughout your life with your health and care and things that weren't attended to. And I'm paying for it now as an adult. You know, but this is a contractor, like, I mean, and literally letting all parties know, I mean, I screenshot and save everything. You know, security cameras aren't just for your house. They're also to protect your butt. I'm realizing that, you know, but literally, I mean, over a week ago, and then looking at a personal note, hey, listen, Eric, I'm not comfortable with you around me right now. You're acting not right. So I'm not comfortable around you right now. I don't want you around me right now. That has nothing to do with, that's a personal note for attorney. It has nothing to do with the checks, okay? He'd bring the checks over, put them on you. Hey, listen, he already knows what he's doing, okay? You're not comfortable? He knows why, okay? He can go meet her somewhere else off the property and give her the checks. He didn't do it. So now all of a sudden, she's going to protect her business, and she's going to say, listen, I'll put a lien on the house. Let her, as I was told this evening on the phone, let her, let him, let them. It's going to fall on Eric, not you. You did your part. But once again, I'm going to say this for people, you know, when you deal with chronic illness and that, the hell with everybody. You come first, the hell with everybody. I'm sorry, it's going to be brash and not nice, but the hell with everybody. You focus on yourself. You start letting people, like, starting to, like, you know, they have no respect for your health. No respect at all. None. The hell with people then. Gone. Bye. Don't respond. Don't text. No email. No call. No nada. Nothing. Nothing. Period. And people who are protecting you and looking out for you and they're not involved, they're non-third party, and they see things for what it is, or as the judge said, we really see things for what it is right now. And there's a lot of things during initial hearing that we didn't have time to discuss. It was a 5-minute hearing because there was so many medical records that the examiners couldn't even get through half of them. And there were situations and things that I had no idea about my health. Yes, less than 5 minutes. It was a record for the disability attorneys. They said they never had a case so fast. But now this is a major case. There's multiple moving pieces, you know? And then you got somebody texting me and, like, you know, threatening me, you know? Crazy. No. So, and it, you know, people asking if anything came out of it is, you know, I was expecting, like, maybe take 60 days, you know, to find and to get, you know, the decision from the judge, but I was not expecting it to go into another hearing. No way, no how. But when you're in a hearing like this and there's people that aren't part of your life, they're not medical team, they're, you know, they're non-involved parties, and they're seeing things logically for what it is. And there's things that they want to look at, things they want to see, or there's people they want to talk to. They're going to move it. Judge is going to move it to another hearing. You know, for more information, more evidence, more facts. And that's where we're at. So things that transpire today just go right into another hearing. And it keeps adding on and on and on. And people have to be accountable and responsible. And I don't save anybody. You know, you and I have respect for me when I'm going through my health to know I don't need any damn stress. Then the hell with you. I won't ever hang out. There will be no text, no call, no nothing. Stay the hell away from me. If you have no respect for me, then stay the hell away from me. It's easy as that. I realize it's easy as that. Sometimes you got to put your foot down, both feet down. And sometimes you got to play not nice. And I'm not nice right now. Stay the hell away from me. If you're not going to be supportive and you're not going to have some respect of what I'm going through, then you stay the hell away from me. Period. That's it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's that easy. But I really regret. I should have literally thought about this and waited, you know, and thought logically. But, you know, going through so much in the morning and there was so much discussion in the hearing and then, you know, watching security camera and, you know, thinking there's a money tree in the garage, some magical envelope that's been mailed like over a week ago and everybody knew about it involved, pictures, texts, and everything. And then once again, do a scapegoat. Don't put me in as the damn scapegoat. I ain't no scapegoat. I'm not in your farm. Don't put me in a scapegoat. Everybody knows there's no envelopes, there's no money in that garage. And then literally just listening to this, and I'm like, this is crazy. You know, somebody owes somebody and they need to sign off on checks. And you're supposed to meet somebody. Hey, I'm not comfortable with you around me. I have a right. I'm not comfortable with you around me. Period. Then meet him somewhere else, as legal counsel said. Meet him somewhere else. There's plenty of places to meet him. Oh, that's right. They didn't have the checks. But that's not your responsibility, Kim. That's their responsibility. As insurance company, once again, third time. Not your responsibility. It's their responsibility. Period. You're out of it. Done. Over. Out. You did your part. Move on. Want to put a lien on the house? Anybody want to say, okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's great. Okay? Comes out of Eric's pocket. Not mine. That's the way it is. You know? I say that in this podcast, you know? Thank God for a good day today. It wasn't raining. That's one thing. I was able to get out. But another thing, too, is you're not responsible for anybody's behavior, actions, and decisions, or lack of. Anybody tries to gaslight and mind trip you, and you're listening to this, listen to somebody telling somebody on the phone, it's in the garage, and they know it's not, is somebody who's a manipulative, narcissistic gaslighter. Okay? Get the hell these people out of your damn life. Boot them the hell out. You don't need that stuff. That's twisted, demented, crazy-ass talk. The craziest delusional stuff I've ever seen in my life, ever heard, watched, you know? And don't be around people that have no respect for you, what you're dealing with, you're battling with your health. You know, get them the hell out of your life. The hell with them. That's what I gotta say, my new motto. The hell with them. Get them out of your life. The hell with them. You don't need it. You don't need it, and you don't deserve it. You deserve supportive people, compassionate people, and kind people. You know? And I realized today, this morning hearing, I really don't know my backstory like I thought I knew. Because there's like layers being peeled off this morning that I never knew existed. And I was forewarned by a disability attorney. I think it's gonna, next hearing could go in another one. There's a lot of requests for a lot of additional information, you know, and anybody can subpoena anything in anyone, in any bank, in any situation, period. Period. That's the way it is. But it was enlightening, it was disheartening. Shake my head. Surprising. Now I think about it and I have some, you know, time since this morning is no, I shouldn't be surprised at all. And you know, and seeing things transpire on security camera is surprising. Hell no, it's not surprising. When you have somebody who's manipulating everybody and just loves just causing problems and sits back and smiles, what they don't realize is when you try to sink people, say it again, you're just sinking yourself. You're gonna sink yourself one way, shape, or form. You're gonna sink yourself. And you're causing problems for people and contractors and things. Why don't you just act like an adult? Just act like an adult. For once, act like an adult. A responsible adult. But you're not responsible for your responsible people. I promise you that. And sometimes, what I learned today, is you just don't say nothing at all. You just keep moving on with your life. Let them deal with one another. It has nothing to do with you. Because I realized today I took on battles once again, like the person that I used to be. I also caught myself doing it because I did. Taking on battles that sure the hell aren't mine. And guess what? I'm not doing it ever again. I fell off the wagon a little bit today, but I'm back on, and I'm looking straight ahead, and I'm sorry. Not my battle, not my problem to have, and it won't be, and I'm not going to be involved in it either. But you can't change people. You keep moving forward, worry about yourself, and those battling with chronic illness, worry about yourself. But understand, if people that are healthy don't deal with chronic illness or never dealt with chronic illness most of their life will never understand what the hell you're going through. And why does it matter what they care? And I'm going to say this, I'll say it again, the hell with them. Find people who are supportive, that are there for you, they have kindness and compassion, that don't want to be a thorn in your side and cause you unnecessary stress. Because anybody causes you stress, no matter how big or small, will affect your health and affect your life. Please remember that.